Only 33% of adults worldwide are financially literate. Only 24% of millennials demonstrate basic financial knowledge. Our society is a capitalist society, right? It's all about, you know, who can make the most or who can sell the most. You know, that's how society is driven. A lot of people are working paycheck to paycheck. They don't really have a savings in place. They don't have money set aside for unexpected occurrences and emergencies. If you're a person that, you know, want to become a lot more financially literate, or you just want to gain a better understanding of finance, I highly recommend finding a financial mentor. But the foundation of being able to do this has to do with becoming financially literate. Welcome to the new episode of the Miles High Podcast. This is Miles Jr. As always, the goal and vision of this podcast is to entertain, educate, and elevate you miles high above your fears, your doubts, and any limitations that you may think exist, always knowing that those limitations only exist in your mind. So I want to have a conversation today about something that a lot of people fair having conversations about. I know my wife and I, well, my wife in particular, really hates to talk about this subject. She hates every aspect of this subject. I'm still trying to get her to be a bit more comfortable discussing the topic that we want to talk about, and it has everything to do with money, right? I want to talk about mastering your money. You know, our society is a capitalist society, right? It's all about, you know, who can make the most or who can sell the most. You know, that's how society is driven. And I think the more educated we can be in how to make and manage money, I think the better off we'll be in our lives, right? So I wanted to take this conversation from a perspective of financial literacy. That's a conversation that I've been having, you know, quite a bit recently with amongst friends. We've just been talking about how low of a percentage of the population are financially literate, right? A lot of people don't know not only how to make money, but they don't know how to manage the money that they make, right? A lot of people are working paycheck to paycheck. They don't really have a savings in place. They don't have you know, money set aside for unexpected occurrences and emergencies. And I think all of these things are important, but the foundation of being able to do this has to do with becoming financially literate. So I want to start with the definition of financial literacy, right? And financial literacy is simply the ability to understand and effectively use various financial skills. It has to do with having the essential foundation of a smart relationship with money. You know, and being financially literate, it deals with things like, you know, being good at personal financial management, you know, being able to budget, being able and knowing how to invest your money. All of these things fall under the umbrella of being financially literate. But a lot of us, a lot of the world, a lot of the population, the people in the world are not financially literate. And I just want to, read some stats that I found shocking, to be quite honest, right? Only 33% of adults worldwide are financially literate. That means 3.5 billion adults globally lack understanding of basic financial concepts. Financial literacy is low worldwide, with an average score of 61% on a test measuring basic financial knowledge and concepts. Only 27% of young people possess knowledge of basic financial concepts. Only 24% of millennials demonstrate basic financial knowledge. and younger millennials ages 23 to 27 have relatively low financial wellness scores, with an average score of 69 out of 100. So as you can see, you know, from a statistical standpoint, financial literacy is very, very low when it comes to being educated and knowing, you know, how to manage funds, how to manage money. You know, when I think about it, right, in high school, we didn't have any financial literacy class. We didn't have any management class, money management class. You know, I didn't go through any of that in high school, right? I actually didn't have my first class that dealt with money management until I was a sophomore in college. And you know, it wasn't because I didn't know or didn't learn financial literacy a little bit on my own, but it wasn't in our educational system. And I think in order for, you know, the greater population to have a good sense of what financial literacy means, it needs to be implemented in our educational curriculum. I think that's important. And I think, you know, that's what we need to do in order for us to, you know, make these numbers, these statistical numbers, look a little better. So now that we have an understanding of what financial literacy is, you may want to, you know, better yourself from a financial standpoint, right? Be a little bit more educated. You know, you might want to improve your skills when it comes to financial literacy. So how do you do that? How do you improve and increase your knowledge and skill base when it comes to being financially literate? The first thing, and I think the most important thing that we could do, is creating a budget. Now, before I talk about a budget, I want to talk about the first time I learned, like, educationally, how to create a budget. So my dad has always been a person that was very shrewd in his from a financial standpoint, right? So, you know, he was always budgeting, always ensuring that he understood what was coming in and what was going out, and managing everything in between. So he taught me quite a bit, you know, just from the home front of, you know, how we should think about money, how we should value money, and how we should manage it. But from an educational standpoint, you know, I didn't, like I said earlier, I didn't really learn or have a financial management class until I was a sophomore in college. And it was in this particular class that I learned a little bit more in detail about budgeting. Man, and I must tell you, when I finished this class, or like this particular portion of our studies, when it comes to budgeting, it really changed my perspective on how I thought about money. I saw myself as someone that was a good manager of money. However, in my younger days, I'm not gonna lie, like I really probably spent way more money than I should have spent, right? Think, you know, as we grow, especially as young men, you know, we like to dibble and dabble in, you know, buying sneakers that we like, buying clothes that we like. You know, when I was coming up in college, there was this phase where, you know, retro jerseys were a thing. And let me tell you, I bought a ridiculous amount of retro jerseys that I'll admit I'm not proud of today, because, you know, money could have been put to better use. But nonetheless, right? I think once I went through this class, a lot of things changed for me, and that's when I started to really like think about budgeting and how I wanted to or should budget my life, you know, on a yearly basis. To this day, you know, every year at the end of every year, I put a budget together for the coming year, and I track everything. Like when I tell you, everything goes into my budget. I track all of my income, and I definitely track all of my expenses. Right? I track haircuts. I track car washes. I track food store trips. I track everything that I could possibly spend money on that. And usually I get that information from what I did in the previous year, right? Because, you know, sometimes new expenses come up or we find ourselves indulging in new habits that are an expense to us. So I include those into my budget. So I'm always aware of what I'm spending versus what I'm earning. And I think what that does for me is it allows me to see where I'm at the end of the day and shows me if I need to pull back on doing certain things that aren't really necessary, right? Once you get all the main things out of the way, all of the luxury items is what I like to call them, the things that aren't entirely necessary and aren't needs of yourself, it's more so things that you want to do. Once you identify that you can eliminate some of them, it becomes easy once you're able to see it, right? Once you're able to create a budget and really pinpoint what you're spending on certain things and maybe how best you can manage money in those areas a little better. So creating a budget is a good way to improve financial literacy skills. It keeps you focused, it keeps you on track, it keeps you aware of everything that's coming in, keeps you aware of everything that's going out, all right? The second thing, and this is something that I learned even when I, you know, when I started reading a lot of these, not really financial management books, but just books of persons that were really financially literate, right? And one of the things that they always say is to pay yourself first. You know, I'm sure a lot of us have read the book Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and that was one of the key points that was in that book. Always pay yourself first. You know, I had to relearn this point quite a few times, right? Because even when I like finished college and I started working, I wasn't really paying myself, right? I was kind of using the influx of funds that were coming in, but wasn't paying myself directly. And what I learned that the key or the benefit to that, to paying yourself first, it creates an income history for you, right? So whenever you want to do or conduct money lending business or borrowing from any financial institution, like they're always going to want to see some level of income that you're earning and how often it's coming in, how much it's coming in, right? I always thought that, man, if you have a certain amount of money or a certain balance on your account, like you could pretty much do what you want. And that's true to a certain extent, right? But nonetheless, these institutions, they want to see what you're doing and what you're making personally, right? And paying yourself first is one of the ways that you can create this history of income that can allow you to do a whole lot more as you move forward in your financial journey. The third thing is to pay your bills on time. Man, I can't tell you how horrible it is to be someone that doesn't pay bills on time when you're trying to be financially literate, right? Or trying to be financially successful. When we let bills, you know, linger and you know, build up, we get charged interest, we get all of these late fees, and as if we let them sit and don't, you know, attend to them, you know, it could get out of hand really quickly, and it could eat into the goal that we've set, the financial goals that we've set for ourselves. So paying bills promptly, paying bills on time, you know, I usually put it in my calendar for the month, like the dates that I need to start focusing on bills. You know, I pay my utilities, I pay my staff, you know, I put all of that into my calendar to remind me that, you know, these are expenses that I need to take care of. And there are also some expenses that you can set to just automatically be paid on a monthly basis. You know, not everything works out that way, because not all the institutions, at least in the Bahamas, I should say, not all institutions allow us to do automatic payments. But if you're able to, you know, I think you should still keep track of them, still know like when those bills are coming out. So I'll still put a reminder in my phone, in my calendar to tell me, you know, this bill is being paid or this bill needs to be paid. But, you know, all of it is to ensure that I'm always on time and upfront with ensuring I'm paying all of my expenses. The fourth thing is to learn your credit. And when I say learn your credit, I'm talking about learn your credit history, and then learn about being able to do things on credit, right? Whether it's with a credit card, whether it's a standing order with a financial institution, taking advantage of credit and the credit that we're able to build and credit we're able to use is important. I could remember when I was in college, man, there were a ton of financial institutions that were just throwing credit cards at us. And I'm thankful that I, you know, at that point in my life, I was somewhat financially literate to the point that I knew that credit cards weren't a good thing. Just because someone was giving you a credit card didn't mean that you had to sign up for it, right? Because what happens is you get credit cards from these banks, or you get credit cards from these retailers, and they say, you know, we're going to give you a credit card that has a balance of $5,000. And you think, all right, cool, you know, I'm able to buy it, and, you know, I can pay it off later. And before you know it, you're spending more than you have, right? And now you have to do credit card payments, and these credit cards usually have interest rates of, you know, 17 to 25%, which is crazy. And that's how we can dig ourselves a hole continuously, right? So getting a better understanding of credit and how credit works, I think is super important when it comes to being financially literate. You know, I love to buy things on credit. I think credit helps me to build, helps me to use my money for better purposes. But at the same time, I don't use my credit cards unless I know I'm going to be able to pay my credit card off at the end of each month, or at the end of each statement period. I never allow my credit balance to, you know, go over into the following month. Now, I know all of us aren't able to do that, right? That's because I've been really doing this for years. So I've gained a lot of knowledge on how to do it, how best to do it. So I've been pretty good at it, you know, over the past, I'd say, 10 to 15 years. But if you're just learning and understanding how credit works, you know, I would suggest not to use your credit card unless you have whatever it is that you're buying in cash, right? And then you're able to pay your credit card off in full during the time. Now, you know, again, that doesn't work for everyone. And if you're going to get a credit card, I wouldn't suggest you get credit cards from these retail stores. You know, those tend to be higher in interest than, you know, your banking or financial institutional credit cards. But again, I don't think you should be using credit cards if you're not savvy or have good expertise on how credit should be used. And then, you know, checking in on your credit history, like always being aware of how your credit history is being built, how it's looking, because that's what is going to be used, like when you want to make these big moves, right? And get these loans, maybe to do use as an investment in a development, or, you know, whatever it is, a project that you're working on. Having a good credit history helps towards that. But the only way you can build a good credit history is to understand how credit works. So learning credit, I think, really helps us to better ourselves when it comes to being financially literate. And as much information as you can get, you know, I'm still learning constantly about these different aspects of the financial industries that we move around in, right? And as much information as you can get within these industries, within these different topics of finance, the better off you will be when it comes to applying and understanding what that information can do for you once understood and comprehended and applied correctly. The next thing I would suggest is to subscribe to different financial learning platforms. You know, I tend to look at podcasts and listen to podcasts on finance. I love to read and receive financial newsletters, and then books that deal some way, shape, or form in finance, right? But my favorite is podcasts, right? I have so many podcasts that I look at and that I study. And it just helps me to continue to learn different ways of bettering myself from a financial standpoint. Some of the podcasts that I would recommend, and I wanted to extend this information to you so that, you know, if you're a podcast lover like myself, or if you're an Audible learner like myself, you know, these can be super beneficial to you, right? The first one is, and I'm going to give six podcasts that I listen to and learn from when it comes to finance. The first is Diary of a CEO. The next is Impact Theory. The other is Earn Your Leisure. The Personal Finance Podcast, Investing for Beginners Podcast, and Money and Wealth with John Hope Bryant. I love all of these podcasts. I dive into the information that they offer, the guests that they bring on, their insights on different things. And, you know, a lot of people do things different ways, right? Some of the information that is disseminated, I just hear and, you know, let it go in one ear, out the next. But, you know, a lot of it I retain and, you know, I try to perfect for myself and really gain understanding about it so I could apply it to my financial journey. Being financially educated, like getting the education that works best for you, right? If it's in a book, if it's in a podcast platform, if it's in a newsletter, a magazine, like whatever works for you, I would encourage you to do your best to get the education and information that is needed. And the last thing I would recommend is to get a financial mentor. This, by far, has been one of the best decisions I could have. You know, going back to budgeting, right? I have this, one of my financial mentors, I was out with him. We had gone to lunch one day. And after lunch, he had paid for lunch. And he took the receipt and he pulled a small notebook out of his pocket and he was writing some stuff down. But he was looking at the receipt for our lunch and then, you know, writing something down on a notepad. I noticed that and I just casually asking like, yo, what are you doing? Right. And he was like, oh man, and his wife was there as well. So I was having lunch with him and his wife. So he said, yeah, I'm just writing the total down for lunch. And his wife jumped in and she was like, oh yeah, he tracks everything. Like any money that he spends, he writes down in his notebook, whether it's lunch, whether it's a cup of coffee, whether it's, you know, order of fries from McDonald's. Like he writes everything down in this notebook. And I was like, why? He was like, man, how else do you expect me to track what I'm spending and the money that is coming out of my pockets? I'm probably never going to get that drastic, right? But, you know, that's the mentality that we need to have when we talk about being financially literate, right? He's a great mentor of mine. I've learned so much from him from a financial management standpoint. And, you know, I have two other financial mentors that I lean on and get advice from, whether it's my personal finance or business finance or my business endeavors. I lean on them for their wisdom and their experience to assist me in my financial journey. So if you're a person that, you know, want to become a lot more financially literate, or you just want to gain a better understanding of finance, I highly recommend finding a financial mentor. You won't regret it, because, you know, hopefully it's someone that you respect, someone that knows you, someone that wants the best for you, and they're going to give you hopefully some good advice for you to continue to be successful on your journey of financial success. So, you know, these were just some tips on, you know, how you can perfect and better your skills when it comes to financial management and being financially literate. I look at the financial literacy statistics and, you know, just overall it's disappointing, right? But I think it starts with each of us taking the responsibility on ourselves to learn a lot more about our finances, a lot more how to manage our finances, and, you know, just be able to prepare ourselves for 10 to 20 years from now when we don't have to work, you know, paycheck to paycheck, right? And we'll be at a much more stable point in our lives where we could enjoy life a lot more. But it starts now, right? It starts with you making that decision now of wanting to be educated from a financial standpoint. And I think that's the most important thing, making that decision. So hopefully this was some good information for you. I'm always trying to do my best to just extend the experiences and information and knowledge that I have to my audience, to hope that you can be as successful as you want to be in any aspect of your life, at any time in your life. All right. So that brings us to the segment of the show where I leave with you a milestone. The milestone for today is this. Financial literacy is not just about balancing budgets. It's about mastering the language of money and taking control of your financial destiny. So financial literacy starts with you. Starts with you making the decision to want to be financially literate. You know, we can go through life and just live paycheck to paycheck and spend more than we earn. But it's not going to bode well for us, you know, in the long run, especially if we want to have kids and have a family and, you know, have a firm foundation from a family standpoint, right? That takes a lot of sacrifice, takes a lot of discipline, and it takes a lot of financial management and knowledge in those aspects. So the quicker you make the decision to want to be financially literate, the better off on your journey you will be as you evolve and grow as an individual. All right. So that brings us to the end of this episode. You know, I love, again, I love these type of episodes because I'm able to really, in my view, like do what it is that I love doing, right? And that's imparting these knowledge and principles of subjects that I feel are important to us on a day-to-day basis. And financial management is definitely one of those. So as always, the goal and vision of this podcast is to entertain, educate, and elevate you miles high above your fears, your doubts, and any limitations that you may think exist. Always knowing that those limitations only exist in your mind. All right, until next time, you guys stay blessed.